I don't know how that woman could give 20 talks in 10 days.
She gave 20 talks in 10 days?
Yes.
Oh my heavens. Like full length Dharma talks?
Half of them were 1 hour and half of them were a half hour.
Uh-huh.
But they were very complete, even the half hour ones. I mean, it was...
Wow. I didn't know that. I have to ask her about that.
Wow.
Oh, she's a, yeah, she was a nun for over 20 years and she's a, been teaching a long time. And yeah. Great. Hi, Wendy. Hello. Yes. Therese?
Yeah.
Hi, Therese.
Hi. They will be here shortly. Did you hear me?
I didn't hear you. Did you say something to me?
Yeah, I just said that David will be here shortly.
Okay.
All right.
We still have time. We're not ready to start yet.
Okay.
Got your stuff, Terry.
Pardon?
I got your stuff.
Oh, I know. I got your email. That's okay. Great. Looking forward to it.
Okay.
I've got a friend who's interested if I can go ahead and send her your email.
For Terry or Therese?
Therese or Terry. No, it doesn't matter. And it's misspelled on here anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, the person who set it up spelled it his wife's way.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, usually.
Terry, mostly.
Well, I heard you call her Terry, so that's why I asked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we call her.
The H is missing. We're not at the point where we need to be.
Hi, everyone. I unmuted myself.
Who's that?
Robin.
Oh, Robin. Yes. Sitting way over there on the couch.
Yeah. My back. Yeah.
Good. You need to be comfortable with your sit.
Yeah.
Oh,
Robin.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see if we get both of us in here. Hi, dude.
Hi.
Hi.
So we'll wait about a minute more. Has Howard continued to come, Jean? He has. Okay. But you never know. I mean, he lives in South Korea, so it's a different time of day there. We'll see if he shows up today.
Well, I'll keep an eye on the waiting room and let people in if they come in a few minutes after.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oops, there's Howard. There he is. Hi, Howard.
Hi.
You have a fancy hat on today.
It helps with glare.
It helps with glare, okay. So this is our group usually, the last couple of times I taught, this is the group right here. So maybe we'll start now.
Down there.
Yeah. So please mute yourselves. If you're not muted already, please do. And Jean Admire will let people in if they come a bit late. So we'll begin. Settle yourself into your seat. Chair, couch. I think everybody's inside at the moment. On the floor, maybe, wherever you're sitting. Some of you may have been wondering why I am choosing to offer you the practice and a talk about joy this evening. The title of this evening's Dharma meeting is Cultivating and Supporting a Resilient Heart-Mind. And so we're going to explore the teachings and practices of mudita, which is joy for or joy with. And the reason I picked joy right now is because research shows that joy is actually, we could say, wired into our brain, our genes, our brain circuits, wired into our biology. Joy is an integral part of our health equation, we could say. And I think it's in moments like now, in times like these, that it matters, this matters more than ever. I read that this spring at the Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City, that they started, every time a coronavirus patient was discharged or recovered enough to breathe without the help of a ventilator, they would play over the loudspeakers at the hospital the Beatles song, Here Comes the Sun. And I was moved by that, thought it was wonderful. One of the doctors there said that everyone in the hospital is under a tremendous pressure, especially those that are on the front lines of this critical care unit, this coronavirus unit. He said, it's like a war here. And he went on a little bit and he said, the work is relentless. And then he said, to hear this song on the loudspeakers is brilliant, he said. He said, it's just what people need as a reminder that the patients are recovering. He said, at least for a moment, you feel good. So pursuing joy, we could say, exploring joy, I would say more actually, exploring joy and finding it. I think it matters in dark times such as these a lot. It's really important. Joy gives us the resilience, we could say, to get through. To get through this physical and mental challenging time, this health crisis all over the world. And so I picked it because I feel like we need to focus more on joy and happiness now, not less, right now. So we'll begin practice, our sitting practice. And I'm going to guide the practice because we're going to practice mudita. Some of you may have practiced this before, some of it might be new for some of you. And we begin this practice of mudita. Mudita is translated usually as empathetic or appreciative joy. I like to call it empathetic joy, contagious joy. And we begin our practice now, spending some time reflecting on the good things that you've done in the past. So settling into your seat and reflecting on the good things you've done in the past, which maybe was just a few minutes ago, maybe some weeks ago or months ago or years ago. The Buddha actually instructs us to reflect on, for instance, the wise choices that we've made in our life. Reflect on the ways that we've been of help to others. Times and ways that we've acted out of a really true generosity of heart and care, both in relationship to ourselves and in relationship to others. This reflection is about cultivating self-love and respect. Acknowledging and really honoring the goodness and the care in our nature. It's not about thinking of ourselves with any kind of prideful conceit, but about cultivating a really perfectly natural appreciation and appreciative joy in our own goodness, in our wisdom. So spending just a couple of moments now reflecting on this in relationship to yourself. And now let the reflection go. And bring your attention to the breath, wherever it's most directly and clearly felt as sensation in your body. One in breath, one out breath. And now bring to mind, bring to heart someone that you know, someone that you care about, someone who it's very easy to rejoice for, someone who it's very easy to feel an empathetic happiness or delight with, someone who it's easy to feel a contagious joy with. And be careful not to shop around too much, meaning don't look for the perfect person, the perfect situation, the perfect happiness that you completely agree with, because most likely you won't find it. So bring up an image, if it's easy for you to image, have an image in your mind of this person. If it's not easy for you to visualize with an image, don't struggle with it. Bring in a felt sense of this person. You may also have an image and a felt sense of this person. And I'll offer a few phrases for you to choose from. Pick one or two of these phrases, not more than two. And one is fine if you prefer just one. And you will direct the phrase, the words, and the energy of the phrase, if you will, to this person. The image, if there's an image, the felt sense of this person who you are experiencing a contagious joy with or for and with. May your delight and happiness continue and increase. May your joy and ease never end. May your success and joy continue to blossom. I'm happy for your happiness. So picking just one, or at the most two, of these phrases and directing this energy of empathetic joy, sympathetic joy, contagious joy to this person that you've brought into your practice space with you. And repeating the phrase over, directing it to this person. And being mindful of what you're experiencing. Mindful without judgment, without expectation. Just simply noticing what you're experiencing. When the attention wanders off the practice, away from the person, away from the phrase, just simply notice it without criticism or judgment and just begin again. Now, let this person go. Just let them be on their way. Reconnect with the breath. One in-breath, one out-breath, the sensations of an in-breath and out-breath. For a few breaths. And bring to mind, bring to heart, someone who has been of great benefit in your life for you. Someone who's still alive and who has been very helpful, beneficial for you in some way or ways. And bring this person to heart, to mind, with an image or a felt sense, or both an image and a felt sense. And direct one phrase or two at the most to this person. May your delight and happiness continue and increase. May your joy and ease never end. May your success and joy continue to blossom. I'm happy for your happiness. Mindful presence with what you're experiencing in this practice. And now letting this person go. Letting them be on their way. And bringing mindful attention back to one in-breath and one out-breath, sensorially. And now bringing to heart mind a family member, an image, a felt sense, or both an image and a felt sense, as though they're right here with you. And directing one phrase or two at the most to this person. You're certainly welcome to use the same phrase you used for the benefactor. Or you can pick one of the other ones if it's more appropriate. I'm happy for your happiness. May your joy and ease never end. When the connection is lost or the mind's wandering or both, just simply notice and just simply begin again without discussion or judgment or criticism. mindful attention with whatever it is you're experiencing in relationship to practicing mudita with a family member. Just simply being present with it, whatever it is. Noticing how it acts, what it does, what it feels like. Without expectation and without judgment. And now letting this person go. Just let them go. Let them be on their way. And bringing attention, mindful attention back to the breath. Wherever it's most clearly and directly felt as sensation in your body. Natural breath. In breath, out breath. May all of the wholesome energies and the fruits that manifest through our practice serve with immeasurable impartiality, without bias, without prejudice, towards the welfare, the happiness, and the awakening of all beings everywhere. So we'll take about 7 minutes. I'll keep track of the time. Stretching, walking. If you need a pee break, please do that. If you need a drink of water, please get that. And we'll come back together in 7 minutes. Listen for the bell. I'll ring the bell. Are you here, Howard? I don't think so yet.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And then there's one other person. I don't know the name of that person, but it says iPhone. Are you here? He comes.
Okay. That's Ken.
Ken, perfect. We're all here. All right. So I will offer a Dhamma talk. And then I think we'll probably have a little bit of time for some Dhamma discussion, if you'd like to do that. A number of years ago now, I attended a week-long retreat up in northern Colorado with a Tibetan teacher. And for the last official evening Dhamma talk of this retreat, we had a special guest teacher. This was a man in his late 70s. He was a Buddhist monk. And he was one of the teachers of the Rinpoche who was teaching that this retreat. And before our guest arrived, our guest teacher, we were given some background information about him, and which was this. This was his first time in the United States. And we were also told that he was a very fine artist. And we were told that he'd been in a Chinese prison for 20 years. 15 of those years, he and two other lamas were practicing in retreat while they were in prison. And this 15-year prison retreat came about because of the kindness of one of the Chinese doctors at that prison who'd created the conditions to make this 15-year prison retreat possible for these men. And so our honored guest came into the meditation hall, and he had a somewhat stiff and bent body, and he was given help climbing into his seat. And he gave a very long and clear and very traditional Dharma talk from the Tibetan perspective, basically laying out the path from its beginning, from its ethical, moral foundations, all the way through step by step by step to the Tibetan Dzogchen teachings. And it wasn't really a particularly scintillating talk, and there wasn't much of any, if any at all, a humor in it, but it was interesting enough, is how I felt. But there was a particularly scintillating aspect of that evening, and that was our guest himself. Because as he spoke, there was a lightness and a suppleness and an incredible delight in his demeanor that came through. At times, it almost seemed as if he was kind of bouncing lightly in his seat, bouncing up and down. And I thought, oh, this is the closest thing I've ever seen to levitation. So just to check myself and the possibility of my projection onto this teacher after the talk, and in the Tibetan retreat, it's not so silent. So after the talk, I asked two friends who were also attending this particular retreat if they'd noticed these same qualities about this man. And they said they definitely had. They had definitely noticed something very similar about him. After the retreat was finished, which was that night, that was the last night of the retreat, there was an auction where calligraphy and paintings done by this monk, Adi Rinpoche was his name, that were auctioned off. And the woman who requested him to do a couple of paintings and some calligraphy told us that she had stayed with him while he worked, while he did the calligraphy and the paintings. And she reported that the whole while that he was painting, he was laughing with delight. Which, of course, we all laughed after she told us that, lightly. It was very lovely. Each one of us, of course, has experienced the benefits and the fruits of joy. These remarkably bright attitudes and buoyant, happy feelings that flow through us. And when we experience this, we often experience a physical and energetic sense of transformation, a balance within our body and our heart and our mind. In these moments of joy, we often feel unbound. We feel healed. So, mudita, the Pali word for empathetic or sympathetic or contagious joy, this feeling of delight and happiness, joy with, joy for, happiness with, happiness for. Buoyant and really powerful energies. The experience of joy and gladness that we feel in relationship to the happiness and the delight and the success of others. Their accomplishments. Their ease in life. The good things that have happened with them, for them, to them. The Buddha actually spoke about joy when he offered the teachings and the practices on the Brahmaviharas, the immeasurable capacities of the heart, metta, karuna, compassion, mudita, joy, and upekkha, equanimity. When we do feel this connection with other beings of sympathetic, empathetic, contagious joy, there's really a sense of connection, a sense of affinity, a feeling of shared joy, a feeling of harmony. Some people describe it as an essential experience of oneness. And at the same time, this experience is impersonal in nature, we could say. In that it's not mine, it's not yours to get or to own, to keep or to cling to. It's not me, it's not I. It's not the identity that I am a joyful person. Mudita is. It happens. Mudita can be as uncomplicated at times as simply feeling the light and bright and soft energy of delight that's emitted when we're in the company of somebody else who's feeling happy and who's feeling at ease. And when we feel this in relationship to another person, we often quite naturally mirror it back to that other person. And maybe with words or often, I think more often, through the quality of the energy that we emit. And in the process, what happens? In the process, this delight, joy, and happiness is increased. When we recognize and when we appreciate the particular positive significance of something in somebody else's life, I think for most of us, there's often a very natural inward feeling and some degree of outward expression of gladness and friendliness, of warmth and care. This is the response from the heart of mudita. This warm, very human sense of connection. This is mudita. The seeds of mudita, as are actually all the seeds of all of the divine abidings, these seeds were planted in each of us long ago and many, many times over our lifetime. Every time someone's been happy for us, every time someone was delighted for or with us when we were happy about something, even the genuine open-hearted response of a smile or a laugh when we smiled, when we laughed. The times when we succeeded in some simple way and were maybe offered a smile or a hug or a touch. And maybe when we were little, when we were very young, as I think often happens quite spontaneously with babies and young children. I used to do this with my children when they were successful in some ways or delighted in some ways. People clap for us. I used to clap for my kids a lot. These are the seeds that we cultivate, the seeds that we grow through our practice, the seeds that have been planted in us. It's kind of like we've been given a transmission. The transmission of mudita. And so we quite naturally, intuitively, it grows and we pass it on. We practice, we cultivate and grow it. And the heart, the mind is purified. This kind of seamless circle of transmission. So right now, for just a moment, let's do an experiment. An experiment with a feeling of joy in a very simple way. With this sense of, I am here. The emphasis isn't on I or am. The emphasis is on here. Joy has the possibility of moving us into presence, the immediacy of presence. Joy breaks down the pattern of grasping at experience to maybe validate the sense of who we are to us. And then we're free to pour our energies into the activity of life itself, without any need to compare, without any need to compete. Comparing and competing take an incredible amount of energy to engage in. So let's take a moment right now. Close your eyes. Settle into your seat for just a moment. And silently repeat, I am here. I am here. And now take another moment of reflection to recall with someone you know well, maybe even someone here this evening, or someone in your life otherwise than this evening, recalling, reflecting on a time when you've really been able to freely, open-heartedly rejoice in and purely rejoice with someone else's happiness, with someone else's success. Now let this reflection go. Just let it go. Don't contract around it with clinging. Let it be. I think for many of us, and maybe all too often, our idea of what it means to be really honest with ourselves, about ourselves, I think often it can primarily be perceived as admitting our various weaknesses, admitting our faults, admitting all of the unskillful, all of the bad things that we've done. I think that's pretty common. This is actually a conceit of self. Identifying and dwelling in this negative idea of who we think we are, this negative image of who we think we are, is actually how guilt and how sorrow and how anguish is nurtured. This direction of the conceit of self. It's important that we recognize our goodness. Rejoicing in ourselves, it is not a call for arrogance. It's not a call for self-centeredness. But it's really just the simple recognition and acknowledgement of our goodness, our success, our, what I like to call, our healthy human beingness. Cultivating mudita is essential to begin to be able to rejoice in ourselves, not in a prideful or not in a conceited way, but as a means of generating the respect and the love, the confidence and the joy, and the sense of well-being that's really essential and natural to the awakening mind, the awakening heart. And I think it's also important that we don't proceed with our practice with some ideal of what idealized idea of what mudita is and how we think we should be. We proceed with honesty, we proceed with humility. And we proceed grounded in metta, unconditional caring and friendship for ourselves. That's essential. Even as we recognize, experience, and accept the arising of maybe reactive states, various reactive patterns that show up in our practice, in our life, the purification of the heart mind, occurs not by forcing, not at all by forcing, but through this attitude of acceptance and mindful awareness. Just as metta can't coexist, it absolutely cannot coexist with aversion at the same time. They can't exist at the same time. Jealousy and envy and joy cannot coexist. So a brief story, many, many years ago now, I was sitting a long retreat at the Insight Meditation Society. And about 5 weeks into this few months of retreat, I began to experience a pretty excruciating loneliness. And my first reaction to this experience was a very strong desire for some attention, some recognition, some acknowledgement. I wanted something outside of myself to assuage my loneliness. Oh, I wanted a note on the board so badly, the note that was written to me. There were notes for everybody, it seemed, except me. So during this period of excruciating loneliness, I went outside to do some walking meditation one afternoon, and I passed by the room of a very dear friend up on the second floor of the building we were staying in. And as I passed by her room, I noticed that there was a very beautiful bunch of fresh flowers in a vase in front of her door. Flowers left there by someone, of course, signifying a caring attention. Well, in the midst of my raging loneliness, a rageful jealousy came up. Envy came up. And I dare say, even though it was a dear friend of mine, there was a little taste of almost hatred that erupted. It felt like it erupted in me. I really felt awful. I felt terrible, worse than I'd felt with just the loneliness. So I reached the trees and the grass outside to do my walking meditation. And I decided to really, really face my very painful feelings, which in those moments led me to do some metta and mudita practice while I was walking. And so I silently repeated phrases for my friend. May you be happy, the friend that had all the flowers in the vase in front of her door. May you be happy and peaceful. May your joy and delight be full and increase. Because I knew my friend was still in her room, so I was kind of directing it up to her room. Well, as I was doing this, I started to feel myself, I was doing walking meditation, but I actually started to feel like I was doing stomping meditation instead of walking practice. And the energy of the phrases was really heavy and very sharp in rhythm with the steps that I was taking. And there was this burning feeling inside rather than the light and the love and the joy that I thought I should definitely be now feeling in my body because I was doing practice for my friend. Well, suddenly an intuitive knowing arose. And in the immediacy of that moment, I realized quite clearly that I was the one who was suffering. And so the direction of the phrases turned around towards myself. May I be safe and protected from inner and outer danger and harm. May I be peaceful and happy. May I take care of myself joyfully, wisely. May I be liberated. And I walked with those phrases for about 40 minutes, slowly feeling more and more ease and openness. And then I went back up to sit in my room after I started feeling this ease and openness. And just as I came into the hallway through the fire escape door, My friend, whose door was right next to the fire escape, opened the door to her room. She was inside and she opened it and saw the flowers. And I was standing there. I just stood there and watched. And an exquisite smile lit up her face. She didn't notice me. And smiling tears filled my eyes, accompanied with really true feelings of love and a great deep joy for her delight in the flowers that some very kind-hearted person had left for her. Mudita energizes us. It makes the heart, the mind light and pliable, open and generous and relaxed. Mudita depends on our capacity to connect really directly and to open-heartedly feel and take delight in things. We must allow or begin to allow ourselves to feel joy, letting go of what might be some contraction of guilt about feeling happy. Recognizing and letting go of maybe some feelings of fear and grasping with thoughts that might be something like, well, if I feel happy, if I really feel at ease and well, I know that at some point, and maybe quickly, it's going to be taken away from me somehow. These are habitual thoughts, fears, patterns, and we need to recognize them. Gladdening our heart, gladdening our mind does help to free us. And then in turn, the moments of freedom gladden our heart and our mind even more. So it's a seamless circle, this inner transmission, we could say, this inner transmission and transformation. When I first decided to offer a talk on mudita, I looked for some very pure example in my own life. So I'd like to share what I came up with. As conditions would have it, my one-year-old grandson and I were alone together. The morning when he first walked all the way across the room, totally by himself. Of course, as we all have done, he'd been working at it for weeks. But when it actually happened, he was so delighted. He was remarkably delighted in the midst of the experience. And he laughed all the way across the room. Well, I in turn experienced feelings of incredible delight and happiness in his accomplishment. And in his great joy with his own accomplishment as it was unfolding right before my eyes. And I laughed with him. It was a pure, really pure, beautiful experience of mudita. The other example that I remembered was when I lived on a farm quite a few years ago, and because we experienced so much mudita, we used to love to watch the newborn calves and baby goats, the kids, just go in the barn and watch them right after they were born, or watch the birth and then stay there and watch them right after they were born. Because very, very soon after their birth, they would try and try and try again, totally undaunted in their struggle to get up on their four legs. And then when they finally succeeded in finding their legs, they would begin to joyfully, I mean, just incredibly joyfully, leap and jump and kick all over the barn. Kind of like my grandson. I'd like to call this joy, or I do call this joy, joy as grace. Just the natural unfolding of the way of things. Joy as grace. My grandson was certainly not walking for me. And in fact, he wasn't even walking for him. It's just the way of things. Walking happens. Joy as grace. Joy as just this. Joy just as it is. Exploring and recognizing the joy that has no self at its center. The momentary joy of the pure heart. Recognizing and acknowledging these moments in our own experience, in our own life. We all have them, have had them, and will continue to have them. And as we practice, and as our practice unfolds, we find that mudita and compassion are sometimes very closely allied. They're complementary aspects of our being, we could say. When we're maybe lost in what might seem like an endless depth of sorrow and maybe despair, mudita is a remedy. And mudita can remind us, oh yes, there's joy. There is joy. So one more story, a quick story. In the mid-1980s, I was living in Nepal for a while, and my youngest son, who was 18 at the time, came over to visit me there for a month. He and I trekked up to the Annapurna Base Camp together. But just before our Annapurna trek, we were having lunch together in Pokhara, which is a beach town. It's the gateway to the Annapurna Range. And we were sitting outside having lunch together at a restaurant in on a little sand dirt street in this beach town, Annapurna Range gateway town. And in that little restaurant, we were waiting for our lunch to come. There was music playing. Now, this was in the 80s. It was Madonna, quite loud, singing "It's a Material World." Well, it struck me so ironic. There we were, Madonna singing "It's a Material World" in this setting. It seemed really quite outrageous. And as we're sitting there waiting for our lunch to be brought to us, Nepal was walking by, we could say. The population of Nepal was walking by on this very narrow little dirt street. Right in front of us. We were right on the edge of the street. And along comes a man on a cart. He had no legs. He was a leper. And so he was pushing himself along on this cart using his knuckles. And he had very few fingers left, actually, on his hands. So he's coming along right in front of us. And on the other direction, from the opposite direction, a calf walks along. And the two meet right in front of my son and I, our table where we're sitting. Well, this calf starts licking this man. The man takes off his t-shirt and he takes off his cap. And the calf licks his whole head, his whole upper body, and his arms. And he just gives himself to this calf very fully. And then the calf finishes licking him from his waist on up through his whole, the rest of his body up. And the man just wraps his arms around the calf and holds the calf, hugs him. And the calf stands still until the man finishes his hug. And then they both continue on their way in the directions that they were going. And my son were and I were sitting there watching. And we looked at each other, my son and I, and each of us had tears streaming down our face. Tears of joy and tears of compassion. Now, just to bring this story into a reality of life, the man was probably very, very salty. He was filthy. He had not bathed in quite a long time, you could tell by looking at him. And he was probably, and it's very hot there, and he was very salty. The calf really liked the salt. That's why he was licking this man all over. And cows are holy, holy beings in that part of the world. And this man felt like he was getting a holy bath. W-H-O-L-L-H-O-L-Y, holy bath, not W-H-O-L. And so he was so joyful being licked by this holy creature. It was a great symbiotic relationship. Along this way of our Dhamma journey, we actually have infinite opportunities to know the joys in practice and to take delight in relationship to our own practice and to feel mudita for others in relationship to their practice. So I just like to list some of these potential joys. You've all experienced each of these to varying degrees at times in your practice. The joy of a collected, focused mind. The joy of calm, tranquility, and concentration. The joy of non-dispersion, the joy of non-distraction. The joy of a loving, compassionate heart. The joy of connection. The joy of non-separation, the joy of metta and karuna, compassion. The joy of living with a growing and deepening ethical relationship to life. The joy of living harmlessly. The joy of non-guilt, non-worry, non-deceit. The joy of seeing and knowing interconnectedness. The joy of seeing things clearly, seeing them truly just as they are, which of course brings the joy, the great joy of understanding, the joy of wisdom, the joy of non-delusion, non-confusion, the joy of peace. Experiencing the heart of pure joy for, pure joy with another's happiness, another's success, and most profoundly the experience in any moment of the great joy of transformation. This is actually our possibility. Joy is the ground of our healing. It's one of the fruits of our practice. And if you look on any sculpture of the Buddha, any Buddha Rupa, or painting of the Buddha, there's usually a little smile on the Buddha's face. Kind of, not quite a Mona Lisa smile, it's the Buddha smile. So look at it next time you see a Buddha Rupa, maybe you have one at home. It can be a pointer, it can be a reminder. It also can be an inspiration for us of the underlying ground of joy, the inherent joy in the midst of and right along with the deepest compassion and wisdom of the awakened mind, the awakened heart. So let's just sit silently together for a moment. Thank you for listening to the Dhamma, and thank you for your practice. So I'd like to open up our Sangha here for any sharing you might have around your practice today, the practice of joy, mudita, questions you might have, comments. Yes. Edna? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I just want to thank you and thank you and thank you for this lovely Dharma talk. It was profound to me.
Uh-huh.
And it's just such a gift to have you opening your heart and your life up to me, and I'm sure everyone else, and giving us this profound teaching.
Uh-huh.
And what I found so profound about it is, you know, as I know that my judgments gets in the way of my joy a lot. Because
mm-hmm.
I live, you know, I was trying to count one day how many judgments I did in an hour. It was scary.
Excuse me for laughing, but that's quite an exercise.
Uh-huh. It was, and it was scary.
Mm.
And I, of course, it's natural to judge, but you know how, well, so much of it is neurotic judging and just judging myself.
Yeah.
So how can I feel this joy when I keep judging myself?
Mm-hmm.
And I just, at this point, that is my focus now is it's this just lightening up.
Yeah.
Just lightening right. up and enjoy. Mm-hmm. And find my really true nature mm-hmm. in all the other stuff. I just read a story about an old Buddha statue. You probably know this story. That was mm-hmm. had been there for thousands of years, and it was a clay statue. Mm-hmm. And the monks were taking care of it very much. But then one day, after all these years, there was starting to be cracks mm-hmm. in the outer layer.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going to come and fix it. But then they realized that inside was a statue of a gold Buddha. the biggest, the most goal that they have ever had in the Buddha was inside of this clay. And I just saw that as like, that's us. Walk around with all this like clay, and then inside is this goal that we keep covering up, or I do anyway. And I just, you know, the ability and the love I find in being able to uncover my own truth and having you as a teacher and all my other Sangha friends makes me just happy.
All right. May you be happy, my friend. May you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for all that. Yes. Anybody else? Don't be shy, please. Howard, are you wanting to say something? Yes.
I also, like Edie, want to thank you. It's just a wonderful presentation. And I wanted to just share, you know, you were my teacher for a number of years, for a few years, and Mudita was actually the most challenging assignment that you provided. Mm-hmm. I can go into the reasons why, but this is, to me, has really been the essence of one path of Buddhism.
Yes.
And the thing I also wanted to share is the association that I had today had to do with my continuing problem that I share many times about Buddhism. I just wanted to share that this theme actually reinforces my sense that if I were a different person, what I would try to do is to integrate Buddhism and Marxism.
Uh-huh.
Why do I say that? Partly because Che Guevara actually described revolution in much the same way that Mudita is described. That is, one does revolution out of love.
Uh-huh.
And the joy of the struggle to change injustice. So I wanted to just share that association.
Why do you have to be a different person to do that?
I've started to do this, and this is actually, and I'm not the only one, by the way. There's
No, you're not, but why do you have to be a different person to do it? Why can't you be?
I don't feel adequate to the time.
Do it. Howard can do it. You can. Let me say something, Howard, and to all of you. I didn't say this in my Dharma talk. I actually meant to, and somehow it didn't come out. Of all the four Brahmavihara practices, metta, unconditional friendship, loving kindness, karuna, unconditional compassion, mudita, empathetic or contagious joy, and upekkha, equanimity. Mudita is considered the hardest, the most difficult. It's actually not taught very often, but it is considered the most challenging. So when you said that, you know, some years ago, it was the most difficult, it is considered that. It's not easy. Why? I mean, I could give a whole Dharma talk on it, which I'm not going to do. You'd be glad to know. But because it really challenges the me, the self, in a very direct way. And our long conditioned and very sticky habit patterns of me. And it you cannot practice mudita with any depth without attending to that. So it's quite challenging, can be quite challenging. Yeah. Yes, Barbara.
Well, while you were just speaking to that, I was struck by my realization that the negativity of conditioning that I experienced in my life, I equated with that that's just the natural. If you think a little bit less of yourself, you're not conceited. And when you brought that up about how that's a form, it may be a little more subtle than overtly being so proud of yourself, mm-hmm. but it's a subtle form of conceit and self-absorption.
Yes.
That the antidote is to do this practice.
Yes.
And do it slowly and mindfully.
Mm-hmm.
Because I truly in my heart usually think of myself and think of others, and it's, I think, mostly in my head, though, of the goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But to go to a deeper level, it requires the work of this practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yes. That little brief sojourn is the word that's coming up. We took in the Dharma talk when I said, just close your eyes and repeat silently, I am here. That can be quite powerful in relationship to what you're talking about. It's indirect in a sense. It's abstract in a sense, but it can be quite powerful. So you might try that if it touched you. Some people it doesn't, don't connect with it very much, but some people really connect with that practice. It can be quite quite helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody else want to say anything at all? Ask, share your practice. Yes, please. You're muted. You have to unmute. There you go.
Oh, okay, I'm unmuted.
Yes.
Part of what I was going to say has been covered by other people, but first of all, I wanted to thank you for the talk. I mean, in these, what we consider difficult times, I think it's especially timely.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, I'm happy. It seems like I need to do this more because I'm kind of happy if I get to neutral, you know, if I get to equanimity and I can let things go by and not be bothered, I'm happy. But going mudita seems one step further to actually to look at a world that you don't think is going right and then be able to feel joy, I think is hard. And you've inspired me to work on it more, you
yeah.
know. And I do have those moments like everybody when you feel it, but I think it's kind of a progression and it isn't talked about much. I've been coming to the Sangha for a while and I don't remember hearing a talk on specifically mudita.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved it because it's another side of our practice that I don't think we probably give enough attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And in response to what the other lady said, I wonder if part of it goes back to our conditioning and our maybe some guilt. It's like we don't feel we deserve to be happy all the time when we look around the world and we say, what's going on? I think there's a little hesitancy toward thinking it's right to feel joy and happiness sometimes. And what you kind of hit home with me was that it is okay. It is our right to feel happy. It's part of our...
Yeah, right.
You can look out at unfavorable conditions and still be happy in the midst of it. And I think that's just something I need to be more aware of and stop being happy getting back to neutral, but try and get to mudita. So thank you very much. It's really talk really, really helped me a lot.
I'm so glad. You know, the first story I told about Adi Mukeshe, who was in jail for 20 years in a Chinese
yeah.
I told that because he had a hard life. And he was so joyful. He was so incredibly joyful. It's possible. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to take another moment or two if anybody else would like to ask anything or say anything, share anything, comment on anything at all. if you're inclined but you're shy, just note shyness, know what that feels like, and talk right through it. Or not. All right. Well, thank you all. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful week of practice. And I think I'm scheduled in August. I don't remember the date. So I'll see you again in August. I'm also still doing the Sunday Sangha. Some of you come to it. Every single Sunday morning, mountain time, from 9:30 to 11, we have what is now an international Sangha. And we sit together. I offer reflection. And then we have some Dhamma discussion. And anybody's welcome. You're welcome to join us. As I say, some of you are already join us. And anybody else is welcome to join us. It's a wonderful Sangha. We've been going for a few months now. We're going till the end of August. So you have still a bunch of possibilities to join us. All right. Take care.
Thank you so much, Marcia, for your teachings.
You're welcome. And I look forward to seeing you all again in about a month. I can't remember the date, as I said, but whenever that is. Bye-bye.
Thank you all for your practice and supporting our practice with your presence.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jean?
Yes.
Well, I was a little late. I thought we would thank everyone that helped with the move, including you. That was a lot of work.
It went so smoothly, Edla.
And yeah.
By the way, I cleaned my front door window today with your scraper, and I'm making lemon curd tomorrow. Can I bring this scraper and some lemon? Are you going to be home tomorrow afternoon?
Yes, I'm going to be here. Well, I'm at a hairdresser from 2:30. Bruce will be here. If I'm not, Bruce is here.
Okay, because it needs to be refrigerated, so I have to deliver it.
Right. And about what time do you think?
Well, you know, I think it would be around 4:30.
Okay, so what's going to happen tomorrow? I have an hour of a gene from 4 to 5, and then we have to take off for Albuquerque because Bruce is going into surgery on Friday.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe I should bring it after he comes.
Yeah, why don't you bring it after?
Okay, when are you coming back from Albuquerque?
Friday night, so Saturday we are here again.
Okay, so maybe sometime Saturday or Sunday I'll bring
That's
it.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's great. Okay.
Even, you know, a big open-hearted hug from me.
This is his leg. He needs some stints in his legs. He has artery disease. I mean,
but he also has something with his.
Yeah, he has a thing with a trigger finger, and he has some. You know, 80 years old, you start having all these things. There's like, you know, what you're gonna do? You know, he needs to get up on that rack and get an oil change, and, you know.
Yeah. By the way, I was also thinking about whether or not we wanted to meet with Kathy sometime.
Right, we do.
Okay, well, you just keep me in the loop and let me...
Don't you think we do?
Yeah, I want to know what...
Right, what we could do and how it could work and so forth. Yeah, I would too. And she would too. So next week, if you have any time, I think she's going to be here all week because she's been busy closing the school.
Right.
So she's being back and forth. So
I won't be around on Monday because I'm going for a cataract consult in Santa Fe on Monday.
Okay.
So probably Why don't I, let's see, I'm trying to think what all, and I know Wednesday I have an allergy shot. Well, let's just stay in touch, and I'll see you either Saturday or Sunday, and I'll bring you some lemon curd for Bruce.
All right. He loves lemon.
I'm ambitious. I'll make scones, but I can't promise the scones.
No, that's...
But you know what? It's just good on toast or... Do you want gingerbread to go with it? Does he like gingerbread?
Of course.
You do?
Well, you don't go overboard now. Whatever. Of course he loves...
No, I love making gingerbread. And it's great on gingerbread.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds fabulous.
All righty. So...
Very grateful.
Okay. Have a one... Have a really...
It's fine.
Feeling on Friday.
Okay. Okay. We will. Thank you, sweetheart.
Good. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Talk to you soon.